Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 22nd. How is it already October 22nd? 2012, episode 514, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. Yes, it is only 10 weeks from tomorrow till Christmas. Just thought I'd
let
everybody know.
Thanks for that.
Hey, I want to say that I saw something on Facebook this morning when I woke up, and it made my morning, and that was you did something really, really nice on your birthday. And we talked about it on, was it Friday, right? It's Friday's show? We talked about it?
Yes, it was on Friday's show, and it's just something that really I've been wanting to do for quite some time, and it was just the push that I needed. If you guys remember, we had Stephanie Church on the show from thehorse.com, and she was talking about working for an organization where she went to Africa a couple times and helped with some orphans and with some kids in need. And, you know, I've been feeling a pull for a long time. I mean, I've always wanted to adopt a child from Africa. I've had a harder time convincing my husband of that one. So the compromise we made is we actually adopted Isaiah online. And now we are the proud sponsors of a 15-year-old boy from Africa. So we're very excited, from the Rwanda area. And, you know, it just felt good. I actually did it over the weekend, and Friday night I could not sleep at all because all I could think about was I got to get this done. And, you know, sometimes it's just something you have to do. And, you know, it's $38 a month, and sure, that's a couple bags of horse feed, but, you know, you got to kind of put that money aside and do something. It was just something that was important to me, and thanks for appreciating it. I just posted it because I just wanted to kind of introduce people to what I'm going to consider the newest member of our family.
And you know what struck me about him? You put his picture up, and I don't know if it's an old picture or a new picture, and you probably don't know that either, but when you said he was 15, I thought he was 8 in that picture, 8 or 9.
Yeah, he's very... He is a very young looking 15, and I guess probably nutrition plays a part in that. Who knows? But yeah, he's 15, and he said he looks like he's a lot younger. But most of the, they have thousands and thousands and thousands of kids to choose from. When you look at pictures and kind of can read a little bio about their life, Isaiah's favorite game, from what I read, is playing marbles. So it just goes to show you, you know, they don't have iPads and ridiculous video games. He's got, like, most of the kids either play with a hoop and stick or play marbles. So the one thing that separated Isaiah for us was his smile. And you can see it on my Facebook page if you just look at Jamie Jennings, and it's on there. But at any rate, it's not something I just meant to talk about. It just was something that I really felt like I needed to do, and I'm really proud that I did it, and I hope maybe it'll encourage some other people to go on there. And it's compassion.com is the website that Stephanie was associated with, and so that gives you an idea of This is a real thing. These are real people. She's been there. She's worked for them. You know, it's a great organization.
Well, I think that's one of the criticisms that's been leveled to, you know, to organizations like this. I'm not saying this one necessarily, but to organizations like this and the commercials that, you know, we've been seeing on TV for 30 years is are they real children? Are they really doing with the money what they say they're doing? And Stephanie sort of confirmed it because she actually met the girl that she had adopted, it was a long time ago, years ago. And when she made one of her trips to Africa, she got to meet her. So, yes, they really are there. Those kids really are there.
So. They really are, and they really do need some help. And like, Isaiah lives with his mom. And his mom sometimes has work as working on a farm, but not constantly. And it just gives these guys such a better opportunity. $38 goes so far in Rwanda. You know, $38 American.
That's one dinner at TGI.
That's what we were trying to liken it to. It was like $38 to me. I mean, you know, that's a couple riding lessons of me teaching, and you know, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's going to mean so much more to him. And I cannot wait to get a letter because apparently within 15 to 30 days, like, they let him know pretty much immediately that he's got a sponsor. And I think it's like a celebration for them that they got chosen off the website to be sponsored. And so I'm getting a letter and also, and I'm going to be able to send him packages. And, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Good. Good for you. That was a nice thing you did. Very good. That's a nice thing to do on your birthday is help someone else. Yep.
It's my birthday present to me.
There you go. Well, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday Edition, the race towards the Breeders' Cup is heating up. So Mike Penna from that network with the extra R, Horse Racing Radio Network, will stop by with what's hot and what's not for that upcoming series. And being Monday and all, the wily voice of Horse Nation is here with the sarcasm synopsis from the weekend. And appropriately enough, it is National Nut Day. So those of you who love the nuts of the equinosphere, have a handful of pistachios and go riding.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And now, my Daily Whinny. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to a jockey that I have talked about a lot on this show, and that's Chantel Sutherland.
You love her.
She's cute. Chantel Sutherland went home over the weekend to Canada, which is where she started riding and spent many, many years riding before she went to Santa Anita in California, to ride the final race of her career Sunday. Yes, she announced that she is retiring at the age of 36 after 13 years in the saddle. She decided that she's going to hang it up and go on and do other things. She apparently wrote a really long explanation on her website, but this is a quote I took out of it. "I'm not sad, but rather looking at another opportunity to begin a new chapter in my life. Looking ahead, I'm excited about new challenges and new opportunities that life has in store for me." Well, one of those is she was recently married to a very tall guy. What'd you say he was, 6'6"?
6'6".
So the two of them together must look like Mutt and Jeff. She just got married to a guy. Apparently he's a businessman up there in Canada, and I think she plans on settling down. Nothing was said about kids, but I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm sure that there's going to be an announcing. She's very articulate. There'll be an announcing thing in there somewhere. Somebody's going to be hiring her for big bucks. So I'm sure we'll see that coming.
She's going to be the next Donna
Brothers.
Brothers. Thank you. Yeah she's going to be the next Donna Brothers. And maybe they'll do like a little 1-2, like a riding thing together at the end of every horse race. I mean, her talent and career is unlimited. First of all, because she's absolutely beautiful. Second of all, she's willing to pose nude. So her career could go anywhere.
You think Playboy's the next offer?
Why not? I thought she was. Wasn't that what she posed nude in? Or
that was some magazine. Ordinary magazine. it was next to Playboy, let me tell you. Hey, she raced 7,350 races. She won 931 of them. She had purses of more than $47 million. And, of course, she's best known recently for writing Game On Dude. And, of course, that helped her achieve several firsts as a female jockey. She was the first female rider to win the Santa Anita Handicap, and that was on Game On Dude. And then she did the Hollywood Gold Cup in July, another female first as well. So she has had a lot of races. She was the first woman to ride in the $10 million Dubai World Cup over in Dubai. So, you know, there's a lot that she has done that's really set the pace for other jockeys coming up, like our own little Bug Callie. So congratulations to Chantel.
Yeah, congrats to her. I love the quote that I read from the article I read. Said that she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go eat some pizza. Because she's been hungry for like 20 years. Good Lord. So go get a hot dog and a pizza, girlfriend, and go ahead and get fat. Why not? Go make a baby, get fat, have fun with your 6'6 husband with your 4'11 self. Ridiculous.
Can you imagine? I'd love to see a picture of those two together. We're going to look for that. All right. Your turn about another woman that we know.
Congrats to Katie Murphy, who went out and won. Not just showed up, not qualified for, not competed, and won the four-year-old USEA Young Event Horse East Coast National Championship. She won start to finish. Her horse's name is Garth. His actual name is Escort RGS, but she calls him Garth. And if you're a follower of Katie on Facebook or anything on her, what is it, Murphy Eventing, I think,
yep.
You will see she chronicles these horses and, like, workouts she does every single day with them. She's incredibly dedicated, and it just couldn't happen to a nicer person to go out and win. And she's... should be very, very proud. This four-year-old is drop-dead gorgeous, and I love him because he's solid. Solid dark bay. Not a lick of white on him. I love that.
And, of course, Katie, we know Katie, and if you're a new listener to the show, Katie and her, they got married, right? Yeah, Katie and her husband, Roger. We started following them because Roger wrote an article about what it was like to be a new horse boyfriend, and that was way back. And we had them both on the show to discuss that. And now we've here on the show, all of our listeners have lived through their engagement and their wedding. And now she's becoming a champion.
Yay! Way to go, Katie. Yeah, she's a great girl. I mean, of course, I've never met her. She lives up in, like, New England or something. But you just feel like you know somebody when you follow them on Facebook and you follow their career. And it's just really exciting when I saw that this weekend that she had won. And the Young Event Horse Championship is definitely highly contested. And for her to win on a four-year-old, it's just awesome.
And apparently it was an American-bred horse, which is even nicer, out of Pagebrook Farms. So that's kind of neat, too, that it wasn't an import. It was an American-bred. So good job there.
About time.
Yeah. Well, there was another horse, not American-bred, that was in the news over the weekend. And that is Frankel. Frankel, talked about, was going to be riding his last race over the weekend, the world's highest rated racehorse, and rode in a little race over there in England. And if he won, it was going to be, 14 victories, right?
Yeah, so he was – his name is Frankel. He's named after an American trainer, actually, who died of cancer about 3 years ago, named Bobby Frankel. And Frankel, we don't probably need to tell most of our listeners how awesome he is, but this horse blows every other horse that he's run against out of the water. Sadly, they've called him, sadly for us in America, they've called him the greatest horse of all time because he has had some speed ratings that have been just record-breaking, shattering speed ratings. But we're going to actually talk to Mike Penna about that because I want to know exactly what goes into that, because we asked Frankie about the numbers there, and he didn't give us a great answer. So we're going to ask Mike about that here in a little bit. But Frankel, there's no doubting his unbelievable power on the racetrack. And again, he was 13-0 going into this weekend, and they talked about retiring him. You have it?
I have it. Do you want to hear it? Let's hear how Frankel did in this 14th and final race.
One furlong springs, they're off and racing. Frankel slow away, as Dwelton just required pushing into the bridle for the early stages, and as such, he's lost the bullet train at the front, who's having a look round Ian Mongan to see where Frankel is, and now Tom Queeley faces a dilemma. Having slept in the stalls, how close does he move? At this early stage, Sirissa Zegler goes forward, bullet train clearly being restrained in an attempt to try and get Frankel on his back, his rider looking round persistently. Nathaniel is in third place with Master of Hounds. A little bit of early drama with Frankel in fifth place, sleeping coming out of the stalls, and Pastorius is last of the six. So Sirissa Zegler with Nathaniel now pushing on into second place, bullet train trying to get in front of Frankel in third and fourth place, but unable to slipstream him. He's following Nathaniel instead. In fifth place is Master of Hounds, and Pastorius is last of the six. So Cirrus Desaigle up the side of the course leads. Bullet train just trying to make himself a nuisance up the inside once more and trying to move to the rails. In third place is Nathaniel. Frankel keeping his powder dry, riding rather than chasing the pace, which has been picked up by bullet train eyeballing Cirrus Desaigle as they make their way up inside the final five. Nathaniel in third, Frankel in fourth, then Master of Hounds, and at the rear of the field is Pastorius. So out in front, bullet train leading and pressing on by a length or so now with half a mile to travel. From in second place, Cirrus Desaigle. Nathaniel is in third place. Frankel is in fourth with the pink cap and trying to move forward now into a challenging position. Master of Hounds and Pastorius as they move through with three furlongs to travel. Cirrus Desaigle corners in front from Nathaniel. Frankel pulls towards the outside. The pink cap, Tom Queeley beginning to try and close down. Cirrus Desaigle from Nathaniel. Frankel keeping closer, still being held together by Tom Queeley. Cirrus Desaigle, Frankel moves alongside. Queeley's finger poised on the button for one final electric burst. Frankel bidding to settle it. Cirrus Desaigle is making a fight of it on the far side. Frankel extends. Cirrus Desaigle is a worthy adversary, but up towards the line, all comers, all grounds, all beaten. Frankel won the champion stakes and lives up to the title. Cirrus Desaigle in second, Nathaniel is third, in fourth was Pastorius, Master of Hounds, and last of all, Bullet Train. Salute a racing great.
Woohoo! I mean, the horse, Frankel, was in the back. I like he kept saying to start napping. He was napping at the starting gate. They break, and he doesn't even... You see that every other horse. The jockeys are going to their whips. They're pushing and they're riding. They're just beating their horses to get them going. And Frankel kind of kicks around on the outside and just kind of like, he just starts pumping a little bit harder, like on the horse's neck. Didn't go to his whip, didn't beat the heck out of him.
Well,
just moved him. And it was so funny before. What?
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say before that, when Frankel was in the back, to count how many times the jockeys turned around and looked behind him, going, where is he? Where is he? Is he coming up? Where is he? Like, the whole time, every one of them was like, go, 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 look back. Go, look back. Where is he? It was great.
Some of this struck me because we don't get to watch British racing all that much. Is remember, they have the whip rule. So when they were in the backstretch, he tapped that horse twice on the butt with the whip, and that was it. And it was refreshing, actually. I got to say, it was kind of refreshing to see the jockeys just riding and not beating the heck out of their horses. It was neat to see that. And we don't see that, you know, very often over here. But he only did it twice after that final pole. So
yeah, it was great. It was an awesome race. And it just goes to show you just
how you hear the crowd?
How much better.
40,000 people, including the queen, out there cheering.
That's amazing. Just amazing. Yeah. And what an amazing horse. And he's going to enjoy his retirement, that is for sure.
And it was interesting, too. You mentioned this on Friday. You know, he was named after American trainer Bobby Frankel, who died of cancer. But his trainer also has cancer. So there was kind of an irony there. Henry Cecil, who also has cancer. And you know, this was really the highlight of his career, and it, you know, continues to fight cancer. But he said that Frankel certainly has helped him live longer. He had something to live for. So it was just an irony there.
Great horse, great story, and enjoy your retirement. And like they said, Cecil, who had spoken of how Frankel is helping him, the trainer, fight against cancer, he said, and this is This is coming from the trainer to somebody right in the middle of it. He goes, I cannot believe in the history of horse racing that there has ever been a better racehorse. Well, we certainly know a whole lot of really good ones, and he is definitely up there on the top. We'll have to see what Mike says about it. And Mike says, is he the greatest racehorse in the world?
Very good. Well, that's Frankel, and we'll be talking more about racing here in a couple of minutes. Speaking of racing, there's a name in racing if you're into Formula One racing. Formula One racing is huge in Europe. It is the NASCAR racing of Europe. They follow it, and that is the racing of choice over there. And there is a legend in Formula One racing, and that's Michael Schumacher, who announced that he's retiring again at the end of the year. And his wife, there's a horse connection here, because his wife is really into riding. She's a rider. So it looks like Michael Schumacher might be getting into reining more full-time and doing some competitions. He is a Western rider and does reining. And he's going to slow it down a little bit. I mean, they do go a little slower than a Formula One car. He was asked if he would like to do any other type of racing, and he said nope. He said the only kind of car that I would ever drive would be a Formula One car, but I would look into getting into horses. Do you think he's being dragged into that by his wife, his horsey wife, you know?
I just have a hard time envisioning a German in a Western saddle. You know what I mean? Like,
it's big over there.
To me,
it really is.
Germany screams dressage, but I guess they have, what I was reading in this article, is they already own a farm in Switzerland. But
yep.
Again, I don't think of Switzerland as a huge Western reining
it's
competition.
It's huge over there. It's becoming
is it really?
Huge. Oh, yeah, it's big over there.
Wow.
Yes, Germany, Switzerland, the Netherlands are all getting into reining big time. We saw Anki, the dressage rider, she got into reining, and that was because it is becoming huge over there. Big sport, yeah. Well, good luck to him on his new career. And he did. He retired once before, so there was joking this time about whether he was going to stay retired. But apparently his quote is, this will tell you how his career went, I've had two distinct careers, one where I won everything and the second one where I discovered what losing means. So when he came back, he didn't do so well.
Yeah. Ask Michael Jordan about that.
Yeah. Yep, that's true.
Or Garth Brooks, whatever. So, go ahead, Jen.
I have a question for Jamie, though.
Okay.
That got me thinking, A, about racehorses, and B, about second careers. What's the latest and greatest on Edward the Vampire Horse? How's he doing?
He's not the vampire horse. He was named after Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility character, Edward Ferrer. And I'm going to say that every time you guys call him the vampire horse. I had no idea that we would have a pony named Jacob and a horse named Edward. I didn't put that all together because I've never seen the movie. Anyway, back to your question. He's actually doing, you know, he's interesting. He's
uh-oh,
not.
Uh-oh. That's why the date was interesting.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
she was interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, he's doing all right. I was having some trouble with him, Jennifer, and in being a former or current horse trainer, I don't know what your status is here. But
Beaker trains me now, Jamie. I don't train anymore. Beaker trains me.
Okay, well, just to harken back to your days of dealing with off-the-track thoroughbreds, and, you know, when you get a horse off the track that's 3 or 4 years old, I find that it's a lot easier to reprogram one of those horses than it is one that's 8 years old and has been running for the last 6 years. So he started running at 2 and he retired at 8. So he's got the last 6 years, every time somebody got on him, he went to the track. So part of that has been a little bit of an issue with getting him to relax. He has a very hard time focusing, relaxing, standing still, anything. He's constantly head up looking for something to chase, I guess, something to run down. So every time I took him in the arena, it would end up with him just getting more and more wound up, because the problem is he's so darn fit that you don't get him tired. He doesn't get tired. You will hurt him before you get him tired. So within the past week, I actually gave him 2 weeks off, and I've restarted the kind of whole idea of what to do. I got some one of my neighbors lent me one of those Clinton Anderson halter and lead ropes. So we've been doing a lot of groundwork, a lot of trying to relax, a lot of desensitizing. I can now take a dressage whip and crack it right next to him, and he stands totally still. So it was time to get on him. And so I get on him, and what I'm doing is it's really awesome because, I live in a very Western – I mean, I live in Western Phoenix, Arizona. So everything out here is Western. I am the only moron that has, jumps in her arena and rides English. Well, I now take my 16th three-hand off-the-track thoroughbred, throw a Western saddle on him, and we've started trying to trail ride. And I call it trying to trail ride.
I heard that.
We go out the back gate, and what it is there's bridle paths in between everybody's 2 or 3 acre horse properties that go behind everybody's property. And at the end, you go down and you come back down the next one. And so you basically are in a long stretch of a trail, and it's wide enough and it's got, footing down. And so the first day I threw the Western saddle on him and we got about 60 feet. Before he lost it. Lost it. The problem is, outside my gate, there's donkeys, there's goats, there's a cow. I mean, it's crazy out there. There's Dobermans that run up and down the fence line. So we got about 60 feet before he lost it. That's when I decided we had to do this twice a day. So we got in there. We kept going down. That afternoon, I got about 120 feet. So I was like, this is better. And when I say he lost it, we're talking racehorse Shackleford going to the post. We're talking stomping and head shaking and spinning and running sideways, just as poorly behaved as you can imagine. But the problem is, that's probably what he's done going to the post for the last 6 years.
Yep.
6 years. Every day, going to the track. So I've just decided that I just need to allow things to happen. And at this point, we went almost a mile yesterday.
Wow.
Now, he did freak out in the middle of that, but he calmed down a lot quicker. So we've stretched each little trail right out just a little bit farther, just a little bit farther. And there's one place where we get into an open field, and that's where he really loses it. But he stays pretty calm on the path. But when we hit the open field, he freaks out, runs sideways, spins. He doesn't buck and he doesn't rear. He just gets racehorse crazy, super excited crazy. So thanks for asking. We're in a new program. We're trying to calm down.
Good thing you have that jockey Velcro butt.
You know what? That's awful sweet of you to say. I have a horn to hold on to at this point.
That's what cowboy used before somebody invented tacky spray.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yeah, it's called a horn, and I hold on to it for dear life. And I did. My husband has been riding with me, Chad. He gets on the Duke, and we go out, and he's gone on every trail ride with me. So he's seen kind of how far we've been able to go each different time. And the first time, I was freaking out, going sideways, throwing his head, and he was doing the pee off. I mean, he was just like this. Chad's like, he's so pretty. I'm like, shut up. But I asked him, I said, does it scare you when you're watching your wife on an animal that is behaving like this? He's like, not really. I'm like, well, good. It scares the hell out of me. This is awful.
He's a
fighter
pilot. Pretty and dangerous are the same thing.
Yeah, he's a fighter pilot. You know, what scares him is, falling from the sky at 20,000 feet.
That doesn't even scare him. He doesn't even care. He's like, oh, I have a parachute. I'm like, I don't have a parachute on the horse. When we fall, we just fall. Anyway, but yeah, getting better, and I'll keep you guys posted on how far we can get on a trail ride. I had to stop yesterday because I know a coyote lives in the bushes. That's about where we got to in the mile trail ride. And I said, we're going to turn around because the last thing I need to do is flush a coyote on this horse. He will never be the same, ever.
All right, we'll be back here in a second. I'm going to do a commercial for our sponsor this half hour, and then Mike Penna of Horse Racing Radio Network will be up with us. We all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. That's why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. Anti-Flam is one of those products. Anti-Flam alleviates rheumatoid arthritis pains, body aches, especially the back, the joints, the neck, and the feet. It can be used for both chronic and acute cases. It acts as an anti-inflammatory in muscles, feet, and joints, and also relieves pain. And anti-Flam encourages repair of damaged tissue. Plus, it supplies sulfur to the body, important for many biochemical reactions in the body. The other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their products. Dr. Chang is well-respected in the industry as a pioneer in putting the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for your horse. They have a wide range of products to help your horse. Check them all out at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And we've got our next guest on the line. His name is Mike Pena from the Horse Racing Radio Network. And I know that people get all of us confused all the time. I'm pretty sure that we've had interviews with trainers that thought we were actually the HRRN, but we are here just the HRN. And I'd like to welcome Mike to Horse Radio Network, Horses in the Morning. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing fantastic, getting excited for the Breeders' Cup that is coming up for sure.
Oh, it's going to be an outstanding event. Can't wait to get there inside of 2 weeks. And forgive me if my voice isn't quite what it normally would be here this morning. I'm a big Pittsburgh Steeler fan, and they played the Cincinnati Bengals last night in Cincinnati. So I made a trip up there and got home about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I think I may have strained the vocal cords a bit cheering for my defense.
How did that work out for you?
It was good. The Steelers won, so that was a good thing. And now I'm back here, and I can kind of focus on getting ready for Breeders' Cup with that out of the way.
We had the evening in our house last night was the San Francisco Giants. So that's what my husband and I were cheering for last night. And
sure.
They ended up winning, and I'm pretty sure my husband can't talk this morning either.
Yeah, it just kind of gets away from you once in a while. But the Breeders' Cup, wow, what an event. You know, every year we say this, it's the quality of the fields and, you know, the competition. This is racing's championship day, with all due respect to the Kentucky Derby, which is only second to none. The Breeders' Cup, you know, brings it to a whole nother level because you have these championship races for virtually every single division that you could create in horse racing. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. We can't wait to get out there. We're going to have about 20 hours of coverage throughout the week. And, you know, when you look at the quality of the fields, each and every field is just going to be loaded with top caliber competition. And that's what makes it so interesting, because you can have horses that are really, really, really top-notch horses, and they might be 10, 12, 15, 20 to 1 on Breeders' Cup Day. So it just kind of adds to the intrigue. And it's nice that it's returning to Santa Anita this year as well, to see it back there, one of the great racing venues in the entire world, certainly not just here in the United States. It's perfect. It really does fit with Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, it's the horse racing Super Bowl for sure. And thinking, you know, it's 2 days of the utmost top-tier horses running against each other. For the Breeders' Cup champion, as an owner or a trainer, would you rather win a Breeders' Cup race or the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, oh, really?
There's only one Kentucky Derby. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I'd take either one.
Yeah.
I would take either one. But the Kentucky Derby would certainly be at the top of the bucket list if you had to rank them in order.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know I've talked to some breeders that are like, yeah, give me a Breeders' Cup win any day. I guess the breeders are celebrated, you know, considerably in the Breeders' Cup. But I always kind of thought, you know, you got to go with the Derby, too. That's what I would go with. But as far as the race coming up in a couple weeks, what are some of the sure things? Are there any sure things in Breeders' Cup world?
Well, I don't know if there's any sure things in horse racing. You're going to have a lot of horses that are going to be considered the horses to beat in their respective races. For example, in the Breeders' Cup Classic, which is the final race on Saturday. It will be run, believe it or not, in prime time this year for the first time ever. 8:30 Eastern time is the approximate post for the Classic on Saturday afternoon. And you're going to have a horse by the name of Game On Dude for trainer Bob Baffert, who has just been sensational. And the Breeders' Cup being run at Santa Anita really helps him because this is his home track, and he's undefeated at Santa Anita. He'll face a stiff test. There's several other rivals in there that, as you would expect in a big race like that, has some credentials to give him a run for his money. But he figures to be one of the shorter-priced horses on the afternoon. Bob Baffert also has another horse in the juvenile Phillies division named Executive Privilege, and she's one that you want to keep an eye on as well. She's a two-year-old filly, obviously, very, very good, very talented, and she's another one that figures to be a pretty short price. And I'll give you one other one to keep an eye on is Wise Dan. He's been training here at Keeneland, just had his final workout the other day. He'll head out to Santa Anita tomorrow and be on site all the way through Breeders' Cup now. And he'll run in the Breeders' Cup mile on the turf. And he's one that figures to take a lot of play as well. He's been nothing short of sensational this year. And, again, no sure things, but those are three horses that you can look for that figure to be among the favorites, if not the favorites, in each of the races.
Yeah, well, these are all – I'm writing all of this down, actually, I must tell you. But you mentioned Game On Dude, and his jockey, who was his previous jockey, I guess, Chantel Sutherland, just retired. When did she stop riding him?
After his previous – or right before his previous race. He just won the Awesome Again Stakes back on September 29th, and it was the race before that, the Pacific Classic, when her ride aboard Game On Dude came into question. A lot of people thinking that maybe she moved a little bit too early. Well, he ended up finishing second that day. He got beat right at the wire by a three-year-old from Dale Romans' barn by the name of Doulahan, who is going to be back in the Classic against him. So some people thinking that she may have moved a little bit too early. That led trainer Bob Baffert to make the decision to take her off of the horse, and that was the final time that she rode Game On Dude. Rafael Bejarano replaced her for that last win on September 29th at Santa Anita, so he'll be aboard when they go to the post for the Classic.
Wow, that sounds like some horse racing drama for your mama. I love it. Without a doubt. Well, let's see. As far as the other races go, I know that, you know, what a workhorse this horse Shackleford is, because he's slated to run, isn't he?
The dirt mile. They have, of course, the mile on the turf, but then in 2007 they inaugurated the dirt mile, and he'll go in that one more than likely. There's still some talk that he could go in the Classic. He has that option open to him if he'd like to, but he's automatically qualified for a spot in the starting gate of the dirt mile, so more than likely that's where he's going to go. And to be honest, I think that's the place he should go. The Classic is a mile and a quarter. That might be pushing it just a little bit in terms of his distance capabilities. Now, he ran a great race when he was third in the Kentucky Derby as a three-year-old at a mile and a quarter, but it might be just a tad too far for him. I think he's much more effective at the one-mile distance.
I do agree. Now, one of our favorite horses, we talk to their owners on here all the time, is Mucho Macho Man. And he's slated, I believe, is he running in the Classic as well?
He is. He will be going to the Classic. And isn't he a great story? And Kathy Ripvo and the Reeves are just such nice people. And it's nice to see people like that who really dedicate their life to the game and are good people. It's nice to see them end up with a horse like this, like Mucho Macho Man. And, he's one of the horses that's kind of slipped off the radar just a little bit. Not many people talking about him because of Game On Dude and Flat Out and Ron the Greek and horses like that that are going to go up against him. But Mucho Macho Man is a very dangerous horse on his day, and it would be nice to see him run really well.
Hey, you know what? I'll take that, because then we'll get a good price. As far as him.
You will.
Get some better odds on him. Now, have you been surprised? Because I think it kind of changed the picture of the Breeders' Cup this year with having so much of the giant three-year-olds retired before even the Breeders' Cup. And it just, I don't remember a year where so many of them, I mean, the winners of the Derby, the Bella, everybody is off the track, you know, not even in contention for the Breeders' Cup. They're all retired.
Yeah, and that's something that we've talked about several times on the network, is that this three-year-old division is not the three-year-old division that we saw going into the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown earlier this spring. It's funny because we were talking about it as being maybe the deepest and the strongest three-year-old crop that we've seen in quite some time, and all of a sudden, you know, as you know, going into the Belmont Stakes, I'll Have Another gets injured and becomes retired. Bodie Meister, now out of training as well. Of course, he was second in the Derby and the Preakness. Painter, who ran a great race to be second in the Belmont Stakes behind Union Rags, he is now out of training. And Union Rags also retired. So all of the top three-year-olds have now gone to the sidelines. And the one to kind of pick up the baton and run with it has been Ben Doulahan, who finished, third in the Kentucky Derby, I guess. And He went out and won the Pacific Classic at Del Mar, beating older horses, and he's really been the one to step to the forefront now. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles a regular dirt racing surface in the Classic when he takes on Game On Dude and those horses. He hasn't been very good on regular dirt. He's a much better synthetic surface horse, and he won't get that at Santa Anita. So we'll have to see if he can step up and elevate his game enough. But he, I guess, has to be considered the leading three-year-old right now.
Yeah, and I think he's done fantastic stepping in. Is there talk a little bit about, oh, he wouldn't be that good if Union Rags and all these other guys hadn't retired, or is he getting his respect?
I don't think he's getting as much respect as you would think for a horse that's done that and gone out and beaten older horses, shipped all the way across country. And I think that's because of the fact that all of his biggest wins in his career have come on artificial racing surfaces, a polytrack surface at Keeneland, a polytrack surface at Del Mar. So when he's raced on traditional, conventional, regular dirt, he hasn't fared as well, with the exception of that nice effort in the Derby, but as we know, he didn't win. So he hasn't been the same horse on regular dirt, and I think that's why a lot of people are just saying he's a synthetic specialist, and they're kind of writing him off a bit because of that.
We're speaking to Mike Penna of Horse Racing Radio Network. And, Mike, to change it up here a little bit, we talked a little bit earlier, and we played the race from Frankel over the weekend, winning his last race to be retired to stud at this point. How does the ranking, that world rankings work? How does Frankel get called the world's highest-rated racehorse?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and there's a lot of different elements that go into it from a numbers standpoint. But to make it really simple is when you look at his performances and the caliber of competition that he's faced over in Europe, that's really one of the bigger factors. That, and then the margin of victories and the way he's won it. I mean, he has been so visually impressive in all of his victories. Now, he had to work the other day. He met game racehorse, so he had to work the other day to win that race. But all of his previous races were so visually impressive. He won by so many open lengths. And because he's undefeated, he vaulted himself up to the top of the polls, and he's never had any reason to have anybody drop him down from that spot.
Now, that ranking, who decides on that ranking? Is that some kind of board or something that decides on it?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I really don't know exactly who votes on that. I really don't. In terms of the world ranking, I know that they have the domestic rankings, which is something I participate in with the NTRA, and they have a weekly poll that we vote on. As a matter of fact, every Monday by noon Eastern, you have to have your selections in for the top older horses and the top horses in the country. But in terms of the international aspect of it, I don't know if it's a board that does it over in Europe or if it's a more of a conglomerate type of thing between Europe and North America. I wish I had the answer for you, but I just don't know what goes into that.
And when they do that, is it all the horses at all the different lengths? Like, yeah, I'm sure there's some Australians who would like, you know, who think Black Caviar is right up there on that list too. Is it you know, all the different lengths of races, sprinters and everything included?
I think it is. I think it is. You know, I'll give you an example. When we do the NTRA poll here domestically, and we look at all the domestic horses that should be ranked in our top 10, the emphasis is always on, if the voting were to begin today for Horse of the Year, who would have the inside track? And that's how we rank our top 10. So, for example, I'll Have Another is still in my top 5, even though he's out of training and retired. If you go look at my selections and at the top thoroughbreds in the country, I'll Have Another would be among the tops because he still has a chance at being voted Horse of the Year here in America. And I have to assume that it's got to be a similar format for the international polls as well.
Yeah, okay.
So what you're saying is nobody really knows, and it's this magical, mystical number.
But
it begs the next question. Mike, do you think that Frankel, this is what I've read, do you think that Frankel is the greatest racehorse of all time?
No. No. But, of course, I'm partial to the horses that we've seen here in the United States with the, you know, the Secretariats and the Man of Wars of the world and the, you know, the horses like that. I think he's certainly a great racehorse, and I think that term great in sports and in horse racing gets thrown around way too loosely. But I think with a horse like him, a horse like Zenyatta, when we had her here, I think the term great really fits with horses like that, and he is certainly a great racehorse. I don't think he's the greatest horse to ever set foot on a racetrack, though.
Well, Mike, you and I will remain friends another day, my dear partner here. Because, again, no disrespect for him, but, you know, those of us in America who have got, you know, I got to watch every one of Zenyatta's races, and to watch her, I'm not old enough to watch Secretariat, but looking back, I mean, you can't argue with that. And then reading about Man of War, these are horses that will go down to the end of time. And I'm glad that England has, you know, Great Britain has Frankel, and I'm glad that Australia has Black Caviar, and we had Zenyatta, and we've got a long list of them. So, again, the greatest racehorse of all time just kind of made my hackles go up when I would hear that, like, excuse me? Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah, and I think here in the United States, we get so focused on horses that have won at classic distances and done it on the dirt. I think that, you know, when you look at the Secretariats and the Zenyattas of the world, and you think, okay, they did it on dirt, and that's what we're used to seeing here in the United States, whereas, you know, in Europe, it's predominantly turf racing. So I think there's a bias there as well. I think there's a bias, certainly on my part, I get biased toward the horses I see here in America. But, of course, you know, horses that race on traditional dirt, because that's what we're used to seeing here in the States.
Mike, we appreciate you being here. Tell us a little bit about where our listeners can find your coverage coming up to the Breeders' Cup here.
Yeah, probably the easiest way to find our Breeders' Cup schedule would be to go to our website, which is horseracingradio.net. And an entire broadcast schedule is there for our entire Breeders' Cup week, which begins on Tuesday, October 30th, we host a two-hour morning show called Breeders' Cup Countdown that we'll do right from Santa Anita, and that'll have interviews with jockeys and trainers and owners talking about their Breeders' Cup horses, some handicappers sharing their thoughts on who they think are going to win the races as well. And then on Friday and Saturday, we're back with coverage of every single Breeders' Cup race. Just announced this week, the Breeders' Cup is also going to stream our coverage on their iPhone, iPad app as well. So you can download that and listen to us on the phone. You can listen to us on SiriusXM satellite radio, streaming on our website. Several terrestrial affiliates will be carrying the coverage, including 96.1 FM here in Lexington. So a lot of ways to see all that, but the best way to do it is probably just to go to horseracingradio.net and just check out the schedule there.
And I just want to confirm with everybody that we are going to be doing a special show on the 31st, our morning show here at Horses in the Morning, and that's all going to be about the Breeders' Cup. And I did confirm that Patty and Dan Reeves said they will get up early, Mucho Macho Band's owners. They'll be out in California at the time. But she said they will get up early if we put them later in the show to come on the show with us. So we'll make them the last guest of the day. But they're so kind to come on with us again. Thank you, Mike. We really appreciate you joining us and giving us the preview here. And good luck with your coverage. You're going to be in a beautiful spot. You probably wouldn't rather be anywhere else that particular week.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun, and just looking forward to getting out there now and getting started with everything. It should be great. But thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it, and keep up the great work, guys. You guys are super.
All right.
Thanks,
we're
Mike.
WorstFacingRadio.net. See you, Mike.
See ya.
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun to listen to his coverage as well as all the coverage that's going to be coming out of that. And isn't it neat that they're going to be in prime time? Usually it's late afternoon.
I am so excited because just talking to him gets me pumped up for the Breeders' Cup. You know, again, it's the best of the best. And just listening to him kind of give it some breakdowns, because I've really got to tell you, I haven't been paying as much attention as I should have. And as I normally would, I think I've just been
You're
busy.
Trying to ride your own wacky thoroughbreds.
Yeah, so I haven't paid as much attention, but what he said, everything he said sounded good, and I'm excited to get into it a little bit more now.
Let's take a break for our Equestrian Collections Product of the Week, and then a song that we haven't heard in a long time, and I thought I'd throw it out there, by Dan Roberts, called The Beaches of Cheyenne. People recognize
Yay.
That one. And then we'll be back with Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation. And guess what we're talking about today, Jamie? We're talking
what?
About your horoscope. That's right. Not your horoscope, your horoscope. And we'll find out about that coming up in a minute. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week I'm going to be featuring the MDC Super Sports Stirrup. They actually come in two styles, but basically the thing that sets these apart are the footbed. A lot of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with the MDC stirrup line because they're really top-of-the-line stirrups. They're the ones that have the little turny thing at the top where you can put your feet at any angle for comfort and to make your feet more correct in the stirrup. But this new one has a very wide base with non-stick aluminum padding. That base is about 2.5 to 3 inches wide. And when you put your foot in that stirrup, you are secure. Your foot doesn't slip. You won't feel like your foot is going to slip. You really feel secure. It's great for fox hunters. Particularly, we were thinking fox hunters would love these because there's lots of good stability. And also, they come in with a flex side, the flexible hinge, which you can move your foot back and forth and you can feel that, or they come in the more traditional one without that flexible hinge for those who want a more traditional look, like in the show ring. But if you're the jumpers, the fox hunters, anybody, beginners, anybody that wants a really solid feel should get these stirrups. We've had trainers that got on my friend's horse who has this stirrup, and she said, "Oh, my God, where did you get these?" Because they feel so good. Now, they're not inexpensive. The ones with the flexible hinges are $200, $199.95. So they are for the serious rider, but I highly recommend them. Really, the minute you put your foot in them, you're going to feel completely different and a lot more secure.
Well, and the other thing about MDC is it's top quality stuff. This is the good stuff. This is made to last, and it will last. Yeah, I highly recommend it. Anybody that even also has any kind of knee or leg issues, they'll find
right.
that these will help alleviate some of that as well. And, of course, this is the MDC Super Sport Stirrups and MDC other stirrups on there as well at EquestrianCollections.com. Just search for MD as in dog, C as in Charlie.
And I also want to mention trail riders. They are great for riding on hilly trails, too, for that secure feel.
Especially with the wider foot base, that would be
exactly.
good.
Thanks,
MDC
Glenn.
Super Sports Stirrups at EquestrianCollections.com.
They packed up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. By the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door and patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. he was up in Wyoming, drew a bull no man could ride. He promised her he'd turn out, well, it turned out that he lied. And all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They said she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Just her diary by the bed that told about the fight they'd had and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said, "Then I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne." They said she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Nobody can explain it. Some say she's still alive. They even claim they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. And if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
And that's The Beaches of Cheyenne by Dan Roberts. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with my partner, Jamie Jennings, and also my wife, Coach Jen, producing today. And we are sponsored today by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, before we get to Leslie here from Horse Nation, I have to tell you, I am so impressed by a group of horses that are just, it's what you hope all of your horses would become someday, and that is as bomb-proof as they could possibly get. And what I'm talking about is the Budweiser Clydesdales. They were at Bike Week at Daytona this weekend, and there was an article written for Equitrekking's blog at equitrekking.com, and it was written by a lady by the name of, let me see here, let me give her credit, Karen Prell. She got the ride on the hitch as they went down Main Street. Now, Bike Week, we're not talking about bicycles, we're talking about Harleys, and you get 10,000 20,000 bikers there for Bike Week, all lining the street with motorcycles running up and down. And here you have the Budweiser hitch going down in the middle of all of that chaos. They get my kudos because apparently they didn't make a wrong step. It was just perfect. That just amazes me.
That is amazing. I thought what's really amazing is they were at the Kentucky Horse Park this weekend as well. Are there two hitches or are we screwed up?
There are two. Yeah, there are two hitches.
I'm like, that's really amazing if they can be in two places at once. Wow. Yeah, because I kept hearing about everybody who was posting. I think Eric Dirks posted on his Facebook page. He got to meet the Budweiser Clydesdales before he left the horse park this weekend. Some people were competing there, and Budweiser Clydesdales in the big barn. So pretty cool. And, yeah, they're broke. The suckers are broke.
Really, really broke. And there's pictures. I'll post a link on our Facebook page to this article. There's pictures of them, and she got to take pictures. By the way, how cool is it to get to ride in the wagon? But she got to take pictures of them going down the street with all of these motorcycles and cyclists everywhere with police escorts. It's just really, really cool. And Daytona Beach is a cool little beach town. It's like every other beach town. But what a neat thing. I'm just I was floored.
Now, before we get to our next guest, I would like to tell you, Glenn, that you may want to take a break, go walk out, and set your DVR. And, I would like to bring Leslie in on this, because Leslie, who is the brainchild of HorseNation.com, I think that this is something that she needs to know about. And so Leslie, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
I'm going to give you a breaking story here. Have you heard of the bronies?
Oh, God.
Oh, oh yeah. The My Little Pony grown men that are into my Little Ponies. Those bronies?
Yeah,
she
those
does
are the bronies.
To torture me.
Glenn, set your DVR because the new series My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. I think it's season 3. It's an hour-long opener called The Crystal Empire. And Twilight Sparkle must find the crystal heart to restore the empire to its full strength, Glenn. It starts Saturday the 10th at 10 a.m. I believe that's Eastern. Get your little outfit on and go sit down with all your other bronies and watch My Little Pony.
Yeah. Okay.
look.
Glenn,
the
that's
new
a brony in training.
Yeah, the new series is supposed to focus on Twilight Sparkle as she advances in her magical studies, but there's going to be plenty of action from Rainbow Dash, Rarity, Fluttershy, Pinkie Pie, and Applejack. Oh, my God, it's so good.
You know what's sad is Jamie almost makes it sound exciting.
So make sure that you have a like a bronies viewing party that you get invited to so you can go ahead and write about that on Horse Nation, because apparently
okay.
It's this big cult phenomenon of adult men who watch My Little Pony.
Yeah. I've never actually watched of course, I'm sure you were too, hugely into My Little Ponies as a kid, but I've never seen this new series. But I've heard it has a really good message, so it's probably quality programming.
All right, before
well,
I throw up all over
like
the
it.
Microphone, we're going to go on now. We have Leslie Wiley here from HorseNation.com to talk about something other than funny little horses that are drawn in cartoons and big adult men follow. It's equine. Oh. So I looked at your first story and now I'm going, okay, well, maybe we're in the same boat here. Equine fashion statements was one of the articles on Horse Nation last week, and I'm pulling that up right now.
Yeah.
There's some wild stuff out there in there. Tell us about it.
I was thinking about, I have this cooler that's a leopard print fleece cooler that I'd inherited from someone who was, whose horse was too embarrassed, I guess, to wear it themselves. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. Whatever. It's fleece. It's a blanket. But we get just super made fun of every time I put it on my horse. So, but it got me to thinking, I was like, I wonder what other crazy stuff is out there, and oh boy, there's some crazy stuff out there. Leopard print this, blankets. We've got the zebra stripe polo wraps.
There's one on here.
Giraffe print's a big one.
There's one on here that would make me hungry every time I rode. That's the cupcake saddle pad. That would be
cupcake.
Awesome.
Wouldn't that be cute?
It's a saddle pad with cupcakes all over it.
Now, what was really impressive on this list was the camouflage Snuggie set. You put that on your horse, you'll lose him. He'll just disappear.
Complete body suit made out of camouflage.
Yeah. You can barely find the horse in the picture. He's camouflaged. I mean, my God, you can find him in the pasture.
Not something, by the way, that is safe to use this time of year in this part of the country where hunting season is beginning. So not good.
No. If you're going to put anything on your horse, it should be a bright orange, full body Snuggie, I guess.
Now, I noticed that there is a fly bonnet on here, Leslie, that the little ear bonnet, crocheted ear bonnet that has a cat on the front of it. And I was going to tell you that looking at that, this past 2 weekends ago at Sonoyta Horse Trials, Grass Ridge Horse Trials, that is by far taking over the fashion statement for eventers. I was shocked how many people had fly bonnets on their horses. And there were so many people that had them on, and they were wearing them, I think, for dressage, taking their horses, and there were these fly bonnets on. And I asked every single person that I saw, please, tell me why you have the fly bonnet on. And every single one of these girls, you know what their answer was? Because it looks so cute. Look how cute he looks in it. It's adorable on him. It's so pretty. Not one of them was like, well, he has a little sensitivity in his ears. And, you know, if a fly gets around him, he shakes it. Nothing like that. It was, oh, my God, because it's so cute. And this one is pretty stinking cute, too. But I don't know if you'd wear that for a dressage.
Yeah, this one's cute. I think it's actually a fox. Can you see that?
Oh, it's a fox.
Yeah, it makes a little more sense with the ears and it's orange. But, yeah, I don't know if you could get away with that in the dressage ring. But, yeah, fly bonnets are a thing. I think, you know, you saw them on all the horses at the Olympics this year, and I think that's kind of like Olympics or the big events are kind of like fashion week. Like, you know, what are the slugs wearing?
Jennifer's being a little snarky. She offered in chat here, it keeps the illegal ear palms in.
I know. I was thinking the same thing, but wasn't going to say it.
Well, that's why I ask everybody, what the hell are you using that for?
Right?
All right, let's go on to your next story. Short what was the title of this one? Short horses, short riders with huge horses. Jamie. Let's talk about Jamie here.
Jamie, how big's your horse?
I was just talking about, well, I am almost a towering 5'3". I'm getting close. And the most recent off the track thoroughbred is 16'3". So I don't think he's that tall.
Yeah. It could be worse. Yeah. I'm actually like 5'1". And so I was like, oh, this is about me. But I used to have the desire to ride the big horses. I think our author of this article, Chrissy Singleton, compares it to balding men in sports cars. But I really don't anymore. I don't anymore. Now I have made the statement before, after I am finished with this last 16-2-hand horse, like, I just want to ride ponies or little horses.
So you don't think it has anything to do with an inferiority complex anymore, is what you're saying?
I think that there's a relationship there. I think so. and you see tiny, tiny women, especially in dressage, I think, tiny women on gigantic horses, and I think, how, you know, your leg comes down, you know, just a little bit, and can they even feel you up there? But I think it definitely has to do with an inferiority complex,
let's ask Jamie how she feels about that.
You know, Glenn, I don't even come near to cornering the market, because my horse is like, what, 16'3", and I'm almost 5'3". Now, I ride with a girl who is probably 4'11 and weighs 90 pounds, and her mare is 18 hands. So, like, I don't feel like I'm that far off. And this little child rides this 18-hand horse and runs prelim on it, and I'm like, how does she feel you telling her what to do? Like this little bug on your back. So I don't feel like I really changed. Now, do I love riding big horses? I kind of do. I like being, for the first time in my life, I'm taller than somebody. So, yeah, I do.
That's pretty good. So
something
I told
about
you,
the...
my husband, all he wanted to do was get a horse that was bigger than mine. Because he was like, I'm tired. He had a 15-hand quarter horse before. And he was like, I don't like looking up at you. And I'm like, I freaking love it.
And I'm noticing the article was written by this Chrissy Singleton, who is from Colorado. And apparently she rides Tricaners. Is she a little person? Is that the story here?
I think so. I think those are pictures of her. I love the one at the top has.
Oh my God, she doesn't. I mean, the top of her helmet doesn't come up to the bottom of the horse's nose.
No. That is awesome.
I know.
How do you even put your bridle on? If the horse is acting up that day, you can't go to the show. That's it. You're done.
Yeah, you got nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Step ladder.
Just to show you how sweet and kind and forgiving horses are and how unbelievably trainable they are. And thank God they don't know how big they are.
That's
all
right. That's pretty good. If anybody wants to check that out, you can find that article at Horse Nation also. Okay, now the one I'm excited about. You posted one called Horse Nation Horsoscope. Tell us about
that. I love horoscopes. You know, I love reading them. I get the daily email. And, of course, I'm sure that they actually have, you know, are not based whatsoever in reality. But I'm always like, oh, yeah, I can relate to this. This is about me. How did they know? So I thought I would try to write some horoscopes for horse people, sort of taking into account what, you know, what the natural, what the attributes of certain signs are said to be and how that might relate to your writing.
Wait. Now, you didn't just write these horoscopes. You consulted with the solar system and the stars, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And astrological experts and hippie type people. And yeah, and I have a... what are they called? Like one of those balls, the
meatballs. Yeah. I just wanted to get to the point that this is not like you're not BSing us. This is real.
This is real.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. This is for real.
All right. Let's do ours. Janie just had her birthday on Friday. Tell what's hers.
Yes. Happy birthday. So that makes you a Libra.
A Libra.
Yes. So I will read you your horoscope. Okay. For Libras, it's all about balance in the saddle and in life. You have a tendency, though, to let the scales get overweighted on one end or the other, be it your career, social life, family, or riding.
Oh, not
be
Jamie.
Vigilant, not Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you saying I'm fat? Is that what you're saying? Is that fat? Is that a fat joke?
No, that's not. Be vigilant about not neglecting one area of your life for another. If you spend all of your time at the barn, arrange to meet your friends out for dinner one night a week. Or if work is eating you alive, remember that a trail ride afterward will energize you and make you more productive on the job. And
okay, first of all, when you say that I need to not neglect my friends because of riding, I would like to point out that pretty much all of my friends are under the age of 17 and ride with me about every night.
I don't think that's balance, Jamie.
And I don't think going out and getting drunk with them is a good idea either.
No, see that? It's really curbed my drinking, I'm going to tell you honestly. I have no friends. This is great. Okay, well, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, you're fine. So, and for every sign, I looked up what famous equestrians share that sign with you. So some other famous Libra equestrians include show jumpers Leslie Burr Howard, Melanie Smith-Taylor, McLean Ward, and William Steinkraus.
Ooh, good company.
Eventers Lucinda Fredericks, Pippa Funnel, and Julie Richards, and ooh, dressage rider Gunther Seidel.
Oh, you got all three. You got jumping, you got dressage, and you got eventing. You're good to go, Jamie.
I'm good. That was awesome.
All right, what's mine? Mom, a Taurus. I hate to hear
you're
that.
You're a Taurus. Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay. The astrological sign for Taurus is the bull, and bullheadedness is one of your signature traits.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sometimes this can serve you well. you cling to your dreams like a horsefly on the rump of a bucking pony. Other times, though, your stubborn nature can be self-defeating. When it comes to turning those dreams into reality, a little flexibility and open-mindedness can go a long way.
Oh, my God. She just wrote the story of my life there, Jamie. The whole thing is the story of my life.
Your wife is sitting there going, oh, no, what is he going to do next? What company is he going to found now? You are the king of, like, the get-rich-quick schemes and, like, get it done. And you just gave him the green light to have a little open-mindedness, okay, and go a long way. So, oh, your wife is mad.
And you share your sign, Glenn, with three famous eventers, Becky Holder, Blythe Tate, and Zara Phillips.
I share mine with royalty. That's, you can't do better than that.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, let's find out from said author of these. What was your horoscope, Leslie? Because let's get to the truth. If you totally sang your own praises, I want to know about it. So, what are you?
Oh, you know, I'm also a Libra, and I have a similar some similar issues as Jamie. No friends, but
yeah. I have plenty of friends. They all hang out at the barn.
Yeah, exactly. No balance whatsoever in my life. I can guarantee that. That's
you know, but we think that's true. I think we think that's true of horse people. But you have bike riders that are serious into that, skiers that are serious into that. You know, they all have the same. They're all with friends that are doing like things. So it's not true totally to us, but maybe a little bit more than normal. Yeah, I mean, probably those people talk to their neighbors at least.
Glenn, when we started our pre-show meeting this morning, that happened about 6:30 my time. No, I'm sorry, 5:30 my time. I said, "Where's Jennifer? Where was your wife?"
Out in the barn.
Yeah, exactly. So. We're supposed to be working, and she's out there messing around with the horse. So there's no balance that any of us have at all within any part of our lives. It's all horse first, and then we try to make time for the rest of you. You know, bless our husband's hearts. I know you're married, Leslie. Have you had any trouble balancing the marriage/horse kind of parts of your life?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, you played that song, Cheyenne, or The Beaches of Cheyenne, before I came on this morning.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, I was rewriting the lyrics in my head to the chorus being like, I don't give a damn if you never come back from, not Cheyenne, like Lexington, insert Lexington, Ocala, again.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I gotta go ride. And he's like,
Ben. Now, I don't know how we've stayed married and how we're all so lucky, but we are. So, anyway, you can find those horoscopes and read What Is Your Sign by Leslie, who clearly consulted with the stars and the solar system and the universe and karma and all sorts of, probably a little bit of, you know, talk to the Pope about it, and really sat down and got to the bottom of where our lives are, and I appreciate the advice. You're absolutely right. You nailed it. And you can find those on horsenation.com. And are you going to be doing this every month?
I think I need to start doing it every month. It was fun. Yeah.
Well, it got you in touch with the soul, with the universe, so you should.
Yeah. I've got this crystal ball on my desk, and it's just sitting there collecting dust. I ought to do something with it. Yeah.
Is it a lava lamp? Is that what you're talking about?
You know, it's one of those crystal balls. You know, you've seen it. You look into them, you see the future.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I thought maybe you had a lava lamp and you were just, like, you know, mesmerized there. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us again. We really appreciate it. Of course, it's horsenation.com. Check out all the stories there, and you can scroll down about half the page to find out your horoscope. Thank you so much, Leslie.
Sure. Take care.
Bye. Are you? I'll tell you what. There you go. There's your. And you know what? It's scary. She nailed me to a T, and she nailed you to a T.
It's hilarious. You know, I mean, these signs things have been around for thousands of years for a reason, because they're true. It's kind of scary. No, I think she did a great job. And being bullheaded is totally you. So it's awesome.
Yeah.
You're like a thing. You cling to your dreams like a horsefly on the rump of a bucking pony.
That was pretty funny. Jennifer, can you post a link to that particular article at Horse Nation? We'd appreciate it, so all of our listeners can find that as well.
And Jamie, you know how when you swat the horsefly after it's impaled your horse, and you swat the horsefly, and it just sits there, it doesn't even move. And when you pick up your hand, it's blood and goo and gore there, you know. So if you try to squash Glenn's dreams, the guts just come out.
See?
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I don't think any of us have jumped in and tried to squash your dreams at all, Glenn. We're all right on the crazy train with you. Obviously, we're here.
And that
Glenn's the conductor on the crazy train.
That has a new meaning. We just watched the movie Wild Wild West. So that has a meaning that the only people who've seen that movie can understand.
Yeah, I didn't have seen it, so we'll go with that.
All right. Talk to you later, everybody. That's it for this week. We'll be back, or this week. Jeez, it's Friday. That's it for this week.
No, Glenn, it's Monday, honey. It's Monday. Crazy train, backing up. Boop, boop, boop. All right, it's Monday. Everybody have a great day. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you.
God, you're a disaster.
We sure it's not Friday?
I wish it was. It'd be awesome.